More on the
Blog Talk Radio.
More on the Religious Birthday Show. Gentlemen, more on this Relisha case. Tonight, y'all, I will have a very special guest, Andre Tatum Jones, who is the nephew of Carl Lee Khalil Tatum. Now, from what I was told, they are very, very close. I'm Keith Warren. The Warren Experience presents the Finding Relisha Radio Show. Case, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody's been watching the news lately, there has been a lot of talk about a lot of things that have been going on and everything. And my main problem right now is this. Hold on 1 second, I got it all written down right here somewhere. First of all, this director of Child and Family Services and everything, how can you possibly have clients and everything at a certain site, and you've never been to that site? I have a big problem with that. I mean, there's going to be minutes before I bring in Mr. Tatum Jones, but I want to hear from you callers, you know, so press one if you want to talk about the case and everything, and what you think that, you know, even what you think is going on, how you feel about it, if you want to vent, things like that. Because I'm just going to put it to you like this. There are a lot of things that I did not like about what the news was saying, and it's showing more that the system is failing, is the one who failed, Relisha. So I'm going to go ahead to a caller, 202-738. Go right ahead. Hello, 202-738. Okay, well, anyway, like I said, I want to hear what you guys have to say about this. I mean, because this is an 8-year-old girl, and hopefully when Mr. Tatum Jones, Andre Tatum Jones, comes on the line, I'm hoping that we get some type of answers to this and everything. I just want to say, those that are calling in private, I would try to hang up and call back again, because the fact of the matter is that we're not going to accept the private calls due to the case that we're talking about. So if you would please hang up and call back on your regular number. There is a reason for this. So I would appreciate it if you call on a regular number instead of calling on a private line. And if people, let me tell you something, people don't understand why I'm doing this, is because certain things that have been going on with this case and everything, you never know who might be trying to listen in to what. So I'm going to let you know now, if you're going to call in private and everything, I am going to kick you off. All right, because this is something serious. And I am one of the citizens that is on the lookout to finding this young lady. And and I hope I have people behind me. But like I said, before I get Mr. Andre Tatum Jones on the line, I want to hear from you guys what you have to say about this case. You know, anything. Press 1. I want to hear what you got to say. Now, also, if a lot of you have read that the council members, Jim Graham and Marion Barry, have both questioned this director, and she didn't really know anything. I mean, how can you be the director of this and not know anything? You're supposed to know, I'm sure you're supposed to know everything that's going on with, you know, what's going on. I'm pretty sure you're supposed to know where your workers are going, you know, if you're the director. So it's going to, it's showing more and more that the it's showing more and more that the government is failing Alicia and everything, and it's I want to thank a lot of people. I want to thank you listeners for joining in tonight, because tonight just may be the mold that needs to be broken. Tatum is finally going to be on the line, and like I said, this is something I just very, very close to Mr. Tatum, his own nephew, and it just so happens that my sister knows him, and he was very, very willing to do this interview, but the fact of the matter that I asked I asked, is there any other members of the family that would mind talking to me, and he says that the family are, you know, not really the type of family you think. You know, they probably don't want to talk about this and things like that and everything. And, you know, that's okay. But, like, seriously, I got until 7:30. He comes in. He's going to come in at 7:30 and talk. All of you will get a chance to ask questions. But I ask that you please be as respectful as possible, because once again, let me let y'all know, this is not Tatum. This is not any other people that you think that might be in this. So he might be in the blind. He might only know the good side of his uncle. So please be respectful. But right now, I also want to hear what you guys have to say about the case. How do you feel about the case? What do you think happened to Alicia? Do you think she's into trafficking? Do you think that she's just walking around? What do you think? Press 1. I want to hear from you. I mean, yesterday we had a dead show. People were on here, but you didn't want to press 1 and everything. I mean, I don't know. But I'm going to go ahead and play one of Relisha's favorite singers. All right, one of them is Ciara, and I'll play Ciara probably later on. But here's one of them. This is Beyonce.
has a turn, and now you're gonna learn what it really feels like to miss me.
Hello?
Yes.
Why isn't Shamika Young getting any of the blame?
Why isn't she getting any of the blame? Well, nobody really says she's not getting any of the blame and everything. I mean, because the fact of the matter is, you know, there's, as they always say, there's three sides to the story. Yours, theirs, and the truth.
Right.
Because the fact that we don't know too much about what's going on, because we haven't heard too much from Shamika and everything, it's hard to tell whose fault it is. Now, I do have to say that it is, she is the parent, and it starts at home first. You know, but as far as we see, the government does have something to do with it. So, but I can feel where you're coming from about it and everything, because she is the parent. It starts there first and everything. So won't nobody really know what's going on. I'm trying my best to get Shamika on this show so she can at least, you know, how can I say this, fend for herself or you know, give her side, you know, because everybody wants the Tatum family side. We want the Young family side. Now we want to hear from Shamika. You know, we didn't heard from the grandfather, the aunt of the Young side, and then now we right here from a Tatum. We want to hear Shamika's side, so I feel where you're coming from. Is that all the questions you have?
Yes.
All right. I hope that I answered her question, you know, to calm her down a little bit, you know, but, you know, to... It's a real good question, you know. You know, why isn't Shamika getting the blame for it? You know, even though, I mean, she is the parent. You know, it comes from home first. Things like this start from home first. And I've even had some listeners say that they believe that, you know, Relisha was a little, you know, bothered or something, you know, or, you know, something about her didn't, she wanted to go, well, she didn't want to go, you know, home and things like that and everything. But I'm pretty sure there are some Turners and some Youngs on here. A lot of people are waiting for Andre Tatum. So, I don't know what to think about this, you know. But we're gonna find out tonight. I'm hoping and I'm praying that we find a loophole somewhere tonight, and we find this 8-year-old girl. Let me tell y'all, if those of y'all that didn't tune into the show yesterday or have been on it or that are new to the show, this was on George Turner, the grandfather's page, and it really hit my heart to even see that this was on here. Now, let me remind everyone that George Turner has been in Melissa's life all her life, ever since she was born, and he put on there, "Lord, I ask you to please return Melissa to us safe and unharmed, and should there be a sacrifice required for her safe return, then, Lord, I ask that you take me in exchange for her in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen." And I believe that is a very heartwarming feeling to even, you know, just see somebody do that, to say that, you know, it's really, every time I read it, I get teary-eyed and everything. Call me a sucker, I don't care, you know, but, you know. And have been people that asking, why am I doing this? I'm going to tell you guys why. I had 4 children. My 11-year-old son, who is my oldest, Torian, died of a heart attack when he was 11 years old. I have a girl that's 13 now. Whew, I get the shivers every time I say that. And I have a son that's 12 years old. I also had a 9-month-old baby girl that was killed this past February by her own mother. And I also have a cousin who will be 27 right now, has been missing since 2010. So I guess y'all can realize why I'm doing this. And other people might have the other reasons. I mean, something so small as just that they're a parent, you know? Some people are doing this because they're a parent. Some people are doing this because they are feeling for this little girl. I myself have taken upon myself to get a documentary together. I've been interviewing the grandmother, Melissa Turner. The aunt will be next to get on the documentary, which is Ashley Young, and I'm asking for any other members of the family to get on this. And this documentary is basically about the search for Alicia, and it's going to continue on along with the search. So, you know, it's going to be It's going to be a multi-part type of documentary. But also, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to help us with the search and everything. I mean, even if you donate, you know, you can donate to the search. And I've started up a site, an account with GoFundMe. That's GoFundMe .com. And you look up the Relisha Rudd Fund. And I mean, just asking for small donations, $1, $5, $10, whatever you can spare. Those that donate, you get a free T-shirt that are, I don't know if you've seen the designs and the Relisha Rudd Task Force group, but I also, if you're not a part of that group, please go right ahead and add to the Relisha Rudd Task Force. And this is basically, we're going to help out and go out and help find this baby ourselves. Because apparently the police aren't doing something. If you heard George Turner's interview with me last Thursday, apparently the police are not giving everything. They're not giving all the information. You know, as you see with the Amber Alert was not spread worldwide like it should have. And to be honest with you, there are some people out there that believe that the Amber Alert still is not, you know, out there, you know. But right now, we just have faith, have to have faith. We just have to have faith. And right now, I feel as though we need to bring God in here, so I'm going to play a little gospel while we're going out, you know, on this another break before we bring in Mr. Tatum Jones. And I like I said, I ask you guys to please be as respectful as possible with the questions and things like that. This is not Khalil Tatum now. And we do not know if he has information on Relisha. But let's hope that he does. Let's really hope that he does. We'll be back. Let me stop right here for a minute and get this caller that just clicked in. 412-722, go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Deja. And I was listening to your station for a couple of days now, and they keep stressing that the police aren't giving information, the police aren't doing this and that, but they can only do, you know what I mean, as much as they can with the information they're getting from the family. Like, there's so many inconsistencies in the stories. I'm not talking about Mr. Turner's story. I'm talking about the main person in the story, Shamika. It's like 15 different stories if you Google and listen to her interviews with the couple that she did do. Nothing's consistent. So how can they work on inconsistent facts?
I believe you're right about that. You know, I mean, the only consistent interview that I've really heard was the grandmother's. And
no, hers has been inconsistent as well, because on HNL, when I followed that story, she said one thing about hearing from the baby, speaking to the baby herself on the phone on March 19th. Okay, then she said, well, no, actually, we didn't speak to her on the 19th. It was on the 1st. It just keeps changing back and forth. On the 19th of March, she was supposed to still be in D.C., going to a cooking breakfast for herself, Mr. Tatum and Mr. Tatum's wife. The video that they showed with her at the hotel with Mr. Tatum, she was supposedly going to a pool party. But then if you listen to another interview, she says that Mr. Tatum had the baby down in Georgia, and the baby was actually supposed to come back from Georgia, wasn't supposed to be in Georgia, but actually in D.C. to go to a swim party. Like, which one is it?
You're quite right about that. And as soon as you said something, lights started lighting up. So I'm gonna keep you right here on unmuted so you can speak. 202-779. Go ahead, you're on the air. Hello, 202-779. You on the air? I guess they hung up. Let's see. 202-738, you're on the air. Hello? 202-738, you're on the air. 202-73, you're on air. We don't want to speak either. Well, I mean, caller 412-722. The thing about it is this story, yes, people really, and I guess this all the time, the story has been jumped around so much and everything. And we are going to find out. I mean, because like someone said last week, this is all going to come to a head. It's all going to come to a head. You best believe that. There's another caller calling in. 515-244, you're on the air.
Hi. I just had a quick question, and I'm going to hang up and listen. Where was Relisha from February to February 26th?
Where was Relisha from February 26th?
No, from February to February 26th, because she wasn't in school. So who had her?
You know, they have not even, I don't believe they even gave information on that, but I will, while I'm looking through this right now, they haven't really given information on that, and I think those were the weeks that they said, I'm looking through the one of the articles right now.
Okay.
But I will get back to you on the information and everything, and I know my information team are out there, so get that together for me right now, guys. There are a lot of people that are upset with this story. And about 3 minutes, I'm going to be calling this guy, and whew, I feel sorry for him. But I'm asking guys to hold your composure. I know this is an upsetting thing. This, and it has to do with an 8-year-old little girl. And as my people are in the chat room saying that, you know, she's, I understand this, that the last time before she went missing, she had migraine headaches, you know, and this child is sick. And I mean, there are a lot of people that are believing that this is not a recovery mission. This is a mission where they're searching for a live person. And I for one, and I still feel it in my gut, I feel it in my bones that this little girl is still alive somewhere. So I'm going to go ahead and get ready to call him. Give me 1 second. Now, before I do this, everyone that pressed 1 and everything, I want you guys to press 1 again so we can clear the board. So when you do have a question for Mr. Tatum Jones, I'll know who wants to ask a question and who not. So everybody that has asked a question, press 1 and so it can okay, I'm going to call out numbers. I want you to press 1 so we can start over with questions. So 240-883, press 1, please. 202-738, press 1, please. 240-608, press 1. Okay, 240-883, you have to press 1 to, so it won't be lit up right now. All right, you're cleared. 240-608, press 1 so I can clear you. All right, thank you. You're cleared. 202-738, press 1 so I can clear you. All right, you're clear. Thank you, everyone, for cooperating. Now, let's get Brother Man on the phone. He seemed like a respectable guy. I don't know how old he is. And I'm hoping that he can answer some questions. Let's give him a call. Dialing right now. I'm not sure what's going on.
You have reached a voicemail box.
Really? Alright, we're going to keep on trying to call this again. Understanding what's going on right now. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to try again. Hello? Hello? All right, I'm going to Facebook right quick to get him on the line and see what's going on, because it seems like, I don't know, line 202-779, go right ahead.
Hi, this is Sierra Cabra with your aunt, and I just want to know, like, if he could help us to get her home.
I'm waiting to get him on the line now so we can get that question answered as soon as he gets online. Let's hope that he can.
I'm hoping for he can.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me get this last question out right quick. 202-847, go right ahead. Hello, 202-847, go right ahead.
847, go right ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, 202-847, go right ahead.
Am I pressing the number or am I asking my question?
Hello. Hello. Say it again.
Yes, how are you? My name is DeAngela Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a friend of Shamika Young. And I mean, y'all haven't got the nephew on the line yet, and I just don't want to ask a question yet because I want to wait till he get on the line. But I really want to speak out on the behalf of Shamika Young. Everybody is pointing fingers at her, you know, and if you's a mother and you really care for your kids, you would know that. That's how Shamika Young feel about hers. I was actually a resident at the shelter with her, and I actually greeted Shamika Young when she got off the shelter van in February 2013. And the person that they are portraying her to be, she is not that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for to know her is to love her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just don't understand the way that they're pointing fingers. The media is giving this false story. They're not putting all her words out there. So now she's made to look like the bad person, and she's not. She suffers every night. Every night that everybody else is laying at home with their kids, she's stressing. She's crying. She's waking up out her sleep at night. She can't sleep at night because her daughter is reaching for her, and she can't get her daughter. So how do everybody think that Shamika Young feel? No one cares about that because they want her to be the bad person, and she's not a bad person. The same way anyone feel about their one child, two child, three child, she feel about all four of hers. So instead of bashing her, everyone, there's no bashing. Stop the bashing. Pray for her and her baby. We all need prayer. That's the only thing that's going to bring this baby home, prayer. All prayers go up. This girl wants her babies home, mainly Relisha.
No, I understand where you're coming from and everything. That's why with this, like I said, I've been saying to everyone, I'm trying my best to find this baby and bring her home because it seems like things are failing, the police are failing, you know. It seems like they stopped the search, and I feel as though that they shouldn't have stopped the search, but I'm definitely for sure going to keep them in the prayers and everything. But
and everyone says, oh, well, she ain't doing that. What do they want her to do? Go out here and knock on everybody's door day to day, walk out, put her clothes on and stand at the corner and say, I'm going to walk this way and see if she that way. She ain't no psychic. She feeling the same way everybody else is. She want her baby home. We all want her home.
Okay, well, let me go to the next caller. You just stay there on hold right quick.
All right, thank you.
All right, 202-999, go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Nicole, and I have a couple of questions, and the person who just called, yes, we do, as the public, want Shamika out standing on corners because a couple of weeks ago when they had the thing down on Rhode Island Avenue handing out flyers, I was down there. I don't know Relisha. I don't know Shamika, but I have two children who are close in age, and I was down there. So, yes, I didn't see Shamika. I didn't see Melissa. I didn't see anyone there from the family. So, yes, we do want Shamika standing outside on the corners looking for her child because I know that that's what I would do. So we know that she's not a psychic. None of us are psychics. But your other three children, they're not with you because of your carelessness. Mm-hmm. I'm not judging. I'm not God. But I know that this story and everything that Shamika and Melissa have came out with has been proven to be lies. Their stories change every other day. They have a different story. One day someone saw her on the 7th. One day somebody talked to Relisha on the 19th. The last time somebody else, she's supposed to go to a pool party. Who goes to a pool party on a Wednesday? So, I mean, all you know, people are going to judge because your stories are inconsistent. Why not give the police, give the media, give whoever's asking the full story at the beginning. Now y'all come up here talking about some Easter clothes that were bought in November. It's like you want people to advocate for you, but you're not advocating for your daughter. So people are angry because, like I said, I live in Maryland. I live in PG County. I came down there. I'm handing out flyers. I'm walking up and down. I'm not even from D.C. But this child has touched my heart. So, yes, we do. We want to see you on those corners. What else do you have to do? You don't have your other three children. So, yes, get your butt outside and work for your child. Try to find your child. But we want, and that's why the people are angry, because every 5 minutes something is coming off different. Now you got this piece of information. Now you got this piece of information. Y'all angry. You got people hanging up the phone when you're doing interviews. Give everybody the information. Help the police out. You can't blame the police for doing anything. I think that Chief Lanier and everyone else has done their job and they've done their due diligence, but you guys aren't helping. You don't want to say anything negative about Tatum. This man has taken your daughter. Well, he took your daughter because now he's deceased. But give everybody the information. You want to know why people are angry? That's why they're angry. Get your butt out there and look for your child. You're not you're receiving threats. That's why you didn't come to the vigil. But then 2 minutes later, you say you're not afraid. You walk these streets alone. So walk those streets and go out there and find your child, or help these strangers like myself, who has two little kids at home, look for your baby. That's what you need to do, and that's why people are angry. So for whoever was just here, her friend, and if Shamika is listening, that's why we're mad. And I'm pretty sure I speak for a lot of other people who are on this phone.
Okay. Thank you for your opinion. Thank you for calling, caller. Well, like, There are some angry people out there, and I got, I'm trying to, cause I'm trying to get a hold of, Mr. Tatum Jones. Let me, get this caller, 202-738, you're on the air.
Yes, in response to what that young lady just said, about not seeing family members on Rhode Island Avenue, we was in mass on Pennsylvania and Minnesota Avenue, passing out flyers.
Is this George?
Yes.
Hey, George, what's going on? So you guys were on Pennsylvania and Minnesota?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So if she would have checked her information, she would have seen that we were down there. Because the news people was with us.
Okay. So there's your answer right there. They were on Pennsylvania and Minnesota. Let me get this next caller. 412-722. Go ahead.
I agree with everything Nicole just said. And, okay, there might have been people in Minnesota and Pennsylvania. I'm not even from D.C. I'm all the way in Vegas. But her mother or her mother's man should have been at the visual that they had for her there at whatever spot they had it at. Nevertheless, the mother isn't being consistent. She's not. And it's no one's fault. The media is not saying, okay, today you say this, and then 2 weeks from now this is what you say. She's not saying nothing consistently at all. So, how did she expect people to feel? And like Nicole said, I would be, too, out every fucking day, for looking for my kid. There wouldn't be no stopping me at all. I would comb that whole park all night long if I had to sleep at that park. I would. That's just the natural instinct of a mother. And I have 5 children. And I struggle every day to take care of my 5 kids. So I know if one did go missing, I would be doing that. That's just common sense. She got high on March 1st. Talking about getting turned up. Who gets turned up when that kid's missing? Did you get Tatum the baby before you got turned up? How did he get the kid? Because everybody's saying that the baby wasn't at Ashley's house. The baby was with Shamika, and Shamika gave the baby to Tatum on the 1st. It's who had the baby? Nothing's consistent. And I do not blame the officers. They're only doing what they're only working with what they got, period. That's just common sense. You cannot blame the police. You can only blame the person who's not giving a consistent story. That's all.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling. 240-608. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, they coming on the line saying everybody's bashing Shamika, but we only call it how we see it. Shamika came on the news. And we still got a pieceless story. We couldn't piece anything together. So we only call it how we see it. If you want us to think of you or something else, go on there and make us think something else. But that's what you're giving us, that you're a bad person. So that's what we're taking.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I actually can understand where all the callers are coming from. And my only way to calm all this down is to ask, and what I've been asking is for Shamika to come on here and, let me interview her, talk to her, and things like that. There's something that in this case, there are loopholes, and I mean big loopholes in this case that need to be filled and everything, but let me get Mr. Tatum Jones on the phone, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe there's loopholes right here where it can be filled. So as I call your number, please press 1 to clear your line. 240-608, clear your line, please. Press 1. All right. Everybody else, press 1. 202-999, press 1, please. Thank you. 202-738. Press 1, please. That's George. George, press 1. Thank you. 202-847. Press 1, please. All right. Thank you, guys. We're about to call them now, and let's get them on the horn. Hello, Andre.
Hello?
Andre. Yes. Hey, this is Keith. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
All right, I'm doing pretty well. We got some, we got a whole lot of people on here that want to ask you questions, but let me go with some of my questions first. How close were you and your uncle?
Very close. Like, we would go to his house and drink. We'd do a bunch of stuff together, go out to the movies. We was pretty close.
Okay, so do you know Relisha?
Yes, I have, like, when I first applied to work there at the shelter,
mm-hmm.
I seen Relisha plenty of times, so.
Okay, and what about the times that he had her over the house?
To be honest with you, like, the times he had her over the house, I wouldn't know because I never seen her at the house.
Okay. Now, there is some things that people want to get, you know, situated about, and that's the two stepdaughters. Does he really have two stepdaughters or two daughters, or, you know?
Two stepdaughters. To be honest with you, this is the first time I'm hearing about two stepdaughters.
So I don't think he has
two stepdaughters.
So where did this thing about the grandchild? They stated that Relisha would always go out with him and his grandchild.
Him and his grandchild. As far as the whole grandchild thing goes, I remember that. Relisha would play with his grandson.
So who is his grandson? Who's his grandson? Whose parents?
His grandson is by my aunt, unfortunately the one that was found dead in the hotel.
Okay. So basically your aunt, excuse me, has a child.
Yes.
Does she have a daughter or a son?
A son, from what I know. She may have a daughter, but I don't know nothing about her daughter. I know about her son.
Oh, you know about her son.
Yes.
Now, are you Tatum's blood relative or are you the wife's blood relative?
I'm Tatum's blood relative. I'm his sister's daughter. His sister's son, sorry.
Okay, all right.
Sorry about that.
No problem. So, there will be, you don't know anything that could probably help us finding Relisha, anything you might have heard, found, things like that, any accomplices?
I don't know a piece of information that would help us find that little girl any faster, to be honest with you.
So you, I'm pretty sure that someone told you about the day that they found his body. What really, or is there anything did you think that the news did not cover that was found with his body or how his body was found?
Yeah, speaking of that, another thing, like one of the things I didn't get when they said that they found his body was that they said that he was dead for 36 hours before they found his body.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't get is you searched the park 2 days, you searched the park a day before that looking for a relationship, but you didn't find the body then, but you found it the next day. That didn't make sense to me.
Somebody could have planted it. they say they committed suicide, but maybe he came there at a certain time where no one was there. I mean, or it could be the body was placed there. I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
I think the body was placed there because another thing is that if you look at where in Kenilworth Park, there's buildings on either side. Like, nobody heard a gunshot or anything like that. If he was to commit suicide, somebody would have heard a gunshot.
Mm-hmm.
That building that they found him in was not soundproof at all.
You said the building?
Yeah, they said they found him, like, I didn't know personally where they found him, but they said they found him inside of a little building that was in Kenilworth Park. But I've been in that park plenty of times. Like, none of them buildings have any type of soundproofing in it or anything. So you would have been able to hear a gunshot if one went off in it, like they said happened.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, I'm pretty sure my caller's got a lot of questions and everything. So if you shall, press 1 and I'll click you in to talk to Andre. Here we go. And here's 1-803-486. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay. He just said that Tatum didn't have a granddaughter; that he had a grandson.
Yes.
Was that correct, Andre?
Yes. As far as my knowledge, I know a grandson. I don't know a granddaughter, so yes.
So how is it Shamik and Emma saying that she would play with his granddaughter?
If she was playing with his granddaughter, I would not know that, but I know of a grandson, so like say he may have some secrets that I don't even know, so.
I mean, you said that y'all were very close, you would go to his house and things like that. So, I mean, you would, if you're his nephew, you would know whether or not he had a granddaughter or a grandson.
Like I said, people keep secrets from other people all the time. So
yeah,
I said, like I said,
secrets,
we were.
But I mean, people don't keep secret family members. You wouldn't know whether or not he had a granddaughter or a grandson if you were as close as you say you are.
Yeah, but also they also said something else on the news about him going through a divorce, and nobody knew about that. Also, so like I said, it was secrets that he was keeping. Nobody knew.
Right. I know people keep secrets within their family, but I mean not secret family members. I find that kind of strange. Like my nieces and nephews know whether how many grandkids I have. I don't know, and they know whether they're boys or girls. So that's kind of strange.
I know how it sounds. I know it sounds a little bit unbelievable, but I'm just
mm-hmm.
telling you what I'm going off of, and that I don't know, so.
So as far as you know,
how old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
23.
I'm 23, okay.
So as far as you know, he didn't have granddaughters. He just had a grandson.
Yes, as far as I know, because I met the grandson. I didn't never meet no granddaughter.
How old is the grandson?
The grandson that he was three. No, wait, no, he wasn't three. He was seven. The son that I met was seven. So it may have been from one of his sons or daughters, but I know I met a boy that was seven that he was calling his grandson.
Okay.
All right. Is that your caller?
Okay. Has he been buried already?
Have I been what?
Has he been buried already?
No, he has not. We're still waiting. I don't know why it's taking them so long, but I haven't heard nothing from my family about as far as funeral arrangements or anything. So, yeah, that's pretty much it right there.
Oh. Okay, thank you. I was just trying to get clear on this granddaughter-grandson thing.
Right.
That seems like there goes another inconsistency on Shamika's part.
Thank you for calling, Carla. 240-883, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, Andre. My name is Carla, and I wanted to find out about the people that were supposed to be with them at the hotel before they got Relisha at the other hotel. I found out that Relisha and Tatum were at a different hotel than the one where your aunt and God rest her soul were killed at. There were supposed to be three other people there. Do you know who those people were?
I actually do not know who those people were, and I'm trying to find out as of right now who those people were, because I would like to talk to them and see what they know.
Okay, another question. The young man that they kept airing his picture from the metro, do you know who that man was?
Yes, that is my cousin.
Okay, so why did they want to talk to him?
Because they feel as though he knows information about where Relisha is, or maybe what happened to her.
But what would give them that indication? Can you go a little bit in depth, please?
Because how can I say that? There's a IG person, on Instagram named Simon Says Crazy. He put the picture on there without knowing the full story. He thinks, like, just because he seen my cousin at the metro and assumed that he was the one dropping my cousin off. So he the one that spread that little rumor or what it is about my cousin knowing where the little girl is.
Okay, today I went to Tatum's whole, he has two Facebooks, and I eliminated the one that I knew wasn't real. But the one that I went through, I actually reposted a couple of his pictures just to get the public's view on the fact that I don't think that he, in fact, killed your aunt. Neither do I think that he killed himself, which brought me to the question that I asked you about the other three people. I'm trying to find out what type of relationship that they had going on as far as husband and wife with those three people, because I'm thinking that they killed your wife and they killed Tatum and placed him in that box. So which means that we need to find out who they are, because what if they know where Melissa is? How is that?
Exactly what I'm thinking.
This is why I really don't think that man killed that woman. All the pictures that he got on there with their hugging and holding hands and all lovey-dovey, he himself on his page is saying some of the most loving things about his wife all the way back from 2012. You know what I'm saying? And then I said, okay, well, maybe things were good back then, so maybe things got bad now. But no, they just here recently, right before this all happened, and he was still saying nice things about her. So we need to find out who those people were. Why were they in a hotel? Were they homeless?
I would assume they was, but I don't know. Oh, wait, you were saying was my uncle homeless, or the people that was, or what are you trying to say?
Your uncle and his wife, because at the time that your uncle was with those people in the hotel, they were living there. It's not like they were just there for like a night out, you know, out of the town. They were actually living there, weren't they?
Oh no, not my uncle and my aunt. No, they was not living there. They had their own apartment.
So, see, that's the crazy thing about it. What were they doing? It seems like they were meeting some type of people for some type of deal or some type of transaction. Because you leave your home to go meet the people that are supposed to be so close to you. Why didn't you just invite them to your home? Yes, everybody doesn't invite everybody to their home, but they actually got a motel and stayed overnight. Met three people there. She ends up dead. And then this is another thing the police is not saying. There's cameras everywhere. Nobody's ever told how many went in, but it says five went in, but three left out. So Tatum wouldn't, and then they said one of them went back and Tatum wouldn't let him in, trying to insinuate that Tatum killed his wife. But I guess I'm asking you all these questions the way I'm asking you, because it was brought up that you were supposed to be very, very close to him. If his wife died before he was even found dead, you didn't have a chance to talk to him in the interim to find out, you know, who were the people that he was with and how his wife really got killed and all of that?
I wish I had a chance to talk to him, but at the time, like, after we found out that his wife was dead, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to call him and everything, but I could not reach a hold of him.
Okay, guess my last question. I know I'm holding up other callers. So during the times when you would go over there, what was his wife and his relationship like from your perspective?
They was like the happiest couple I have ever seen in my life. Like, they did everything together, washed clothes together. Usually a man don't do that with his wife, but they did everything together. Like, there was no indication that they was even going through a rough patch ever.
Okay, And that's what neighbors and different people that was posted on his page was saying. Everybody was saying that that's just totally out the box for this to have happened with him killing her because they were just so connected, like inseparable. And likewise, he said that on his pictures. But that's all the questions I have for you, and I thank you so much for answering.
You're welcome. You have a blessed day.
You too.
Wow, this is really getting kind of ruddy and everything. I'm going to ask callers to please submit it to 3 questions, okay? 412-722, you're on the air. Hello, 412-722. Okay, there you go.
Hi, Andre. I was wondering, did your Uncle Des have children of his own? Do any of them live there in D.C., or do they live in Virginia or Georgia?
The 2 sons that I have met, they both live in Maryland, and the daughter that I do know about, his daughter, she lives in Virginia, so.
Okay, and does his stepdaughter, does he and his stepdaughter have a good relationship?
Yes, they have a very good relationship, just like a father and daughter would have.
Why hasn't any of his kids came out to speak for him, especially his daughter, since everyone keeps saying this story that, you know, Relisha was with his granddaughter and daughter?
The only reason I could think about why they wouldn't come out to speak, they're probably grief-stricken at this point, and maybe they're not thinking right that they should defend their father, but it's hard to tell what's going through their minds right now.
Okay, thank you. That was all.
Okay, you have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank you for calling. All right, 202-830, you're on the air. 202-830, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead with your question.
So you basically saying, Andre, that throughout all of this, even from the beginning of, I would say February, you never was in contact with your uncle. Like, there was he acting funny? Like, there's nothing that threw you mixed signals that something was going on with him?
No, nothing at all. He was just his regular self. Like, I couldn't tell you if he was acting funny because every time I was around him, he was just acting his normal self.
So you, in the midst of you being around your uncle, you have never seen Relisha. You have have he ever spoke of Relisha?
Yeah, I have seen Relisha plenty of times at the shelter. Like, as far as at the shelter, that's the most times I've seen her. Like, I only seen her one time out with my uncle.
So, I don't know. That's it.
Okay. Thanks for calling. All right, 240-608, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
Okay, so do he know anything? Because, like, I want to know about the pool party. Was the pool party real or what?
About the pool party, from what I heard, it was an actual party that he had took Relisha to. But as far as what time the party ended and all that, I couldn't tell you.
So was the party at his sister's house?
No, from what I heard, the party was at the hotel that they were staying at.
Wow. Okay, that was all. I want to know if the pool party was at his sister's house.
All right, thank you for calling. All right, 202-904, you're on the air. 202-904, you're on the air. Once again, 202-904, you're on the air. All right, well, I guess that's it for right now. So, Andre, so your uncle does have 2 biological sons and 1 daughter, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and, wow, that's new to me. That's something that the news didn't, you know, bring out. So, in other words, you know, he was a typical, normal, hardworking guy. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
All right. I guess if no other callers has anything else to ask, wait a minute, we got one coming in. 202-999, go right ahead.
Hi, Andre. Just a couple of questions. Did your uncle, did he have any type of degree? Or because I'm sure you probably heard about the Dr. Tatum thing going around, so and the medical conference that he was supposed to attend in Atlanta. Do you know anything about that, or did he have any type of interest? I mean, was he a male nurse? I mean, we know he wasn't a doctor, but do you know if he attended a conference in Atlanta, or why that will be said, and why he would speak on behalf of a doctor regarding Relisha's seizures and her medical condition?
The only degree I knew that he had in was, how can I say, culinary arts, you know, cooking food and such. But I don't know of no degree in anything that has anything to do with medicine or physical conditions or anything like that. So as far as him speaking on Relisha's condition about her seizures and all that, I personally don't feel as though that was true. I mean, unless somebody can show me a doctor's note that he actually written and I can see that is his handwriting, I don't believe that.
Okay. Also, have you spoken with any of Relisha's family, with Shamika or the grandmother or anything?
No, I haven't spoken to neither one of them, but I would like to.
So they haven't tried to reach out to you to, like, you know, just get any information maybe about your uncle or anything?
None at all.
Okay. I think that's all. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, 202-738. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Andre.
Yes?
This is Mrs. Grandfather.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
I want to clear something up for you.
Okay.
Your uncle did tell my wife and my daughter that Relisha was playing with his 9-year-old granddaughter. Yeah, I had. Now, whether it is a granddaughter or not, I don't know. And then it was a thing where he had numerous residents, but none of them had any furniture in them.
Okay.
Like the house down here on N Street.
Yeah. So, basically, you said that he said that he has a 9-year-old granddaughter.
No, I didn't say nothing about a granddaughter. I know about
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about George. George said that Tatum said that he has a 9-year-old granddaughter.
Yeah, and I heard my granddaughter say that herself.
That may well be true, but I'm just saying on my behalf, I've never seen a granddaughter. I was just saying on my behalf, I've never seen her. So, I mean, I know everybody said that sounds strange that I have never seen her, but stuff happens. Like, I was close with him, but I wasn't around him 24/7. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I couldn't, like I said, I seen a grandson. I never seen a granddaughter. That's just me.
Well, one question I did want to ask was, as a family, what are y'all doing to help the police find Relisha?
We have given every piece of information that we ever heard or known to the police already. We just, I mean, if anything else new comes up, of course we tell them, but we ain't nothing new else come up. We're trying to figure out things about, little things about probably where they could have, else they could have gone and stuff like that. But, I mean, as of right now, we have told everything that we have known.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I myself, I'm curious about who them other people were that was in that room with them. And is it possible that one of them might have my grandchild?
I think we all are curious about that, George.
I wish the police would find out who those people was, because I know they got security cameras to find them.
Well, according to what's been going on, I believe the police have been talking to the three guys, but they just won't release the names.
Mm-hmm.
They released the names of everybody else involved. They might as well release those names, too.
True.
They would know all the information from everybody.
So everybody would know what was going on.
Any more questions, George?
No, I'm through.
All right, you have a good night, sir.
You do the same.
All right, so that's one more gone. 202-847, you're on the air. 202-847, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah.
202-847, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hi, this is Antonio Wheeler, her father. And I got a couple things to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, this is concrete evidence leads to the grandmother, okay? The teacher stated that in one of the articles that Ulysses told them that she was ill and staying with the grandmother, okay? Why didn't she state that she was staying with the mother at the shelter?
That's a good question right there.
Okay, and then my third question is, the grandmother told us that she gave the school Tatum number as the doctor. Why?
I honestly can't. Does the school have, does
and
still have the number?
Why would he act on the behalf as a doctor? Why?
That's the million-dollar question right there. I have no idea why he, if, okay, let's just say it like this. If he did write the note, I wouldn't have no idea why he did write the note, but I don't think he wrote that.
But you said you was close with him.
I am close with him, but I don't believe that he would write a doctor's note on behalf of somebody else.
The school has that information is what I'm telling you. I feel some way about your interview because I feel you're not being completely honest with my daughter. And for the entire world to keep bashing at me and my kid's mother, why we weren't at the visual, why we weren't right here, why we weren't in this place, why we weren't right there, because our lawyers and everything told us not to be in the public eye because of our own safety. But I don't care about my safety. I'm finding my daughter. I'm out here every day walking, beating the pavement at night.
Antonio, let me ask you a question. The lawyers told you not to be out of your own public safety, correct?
Yes.
But yet you were taking pictures and stuff with wads of cash in your mouth and all over and things like that. Why?
Okay. Wads of cash. Granted, that's my tax money. I got that money when the Spider-Man phones came out. The same exact day, my daughter was not missing. And I also received a disability check. So all that wise money, two checks. So all that wise money y'all got in the news and all that, that had nothing to do with my daughter being missing. That's my tax money and my Social Security money, my disability check. So all that y'all doing is wrong.
So
it's
can
wrong.
I ask you a question,
tax money and Social Security.
Yes.
Well, can I ask him a question
Social
right quick?
You know that?
And then there's a video on my kid's mother's Instagram that states that my daughter was last at her aunt's house.
Tony, let me ask you this. The Social Security know that you got tax money?
Of course. It shouldn't
obviously
matter
if
Social Security
you're
know
on disability.
It shouldn't matter.
And you're
it
getting
shouldn't
tax
matter.
Money? If
yes,
you're on disability and you're going tax money? then you
I had worked in the past
secure.
Before. I had worked before. I had plenty of jobs before. So before y'all keep talking about the Social Security, you got tax money. What is that point? What's the point of that? The point is, where's my daughter? And the point is, y'all keep pointing fingers at me and my kid's mother.
Okay, let
y'all
me put it to you.
Y'all
like
are
this.
Not walking in our shoes.
Let me put
day.
It to you like
y'all
this, Antonio. Antonio, hold on. Let me put it to you like this, okay?
And
right
then,
now,
why do the man want to
Antonio, you
on
will not disrespect me on my radio show, dude. Really. You will not. I'm trying to help find this little girl. So you will
it
not disrespect me on my radio show. You got all these, let me tell you something, you got all these different groups out here on Facebook and things like that trying to help find her, but I am the only one that is trying to get in contact with everyone to find out. I'm the one that's helping the grandmother make the shirts and everything. I have put out a fundraiser to help find her.
And
the people
I appreciate
that are on here are not the ones
that.
You get mad
I thank you
at,
for
brother.
That. I really do. But I'm not trying to disrespect you.
Hold up, dude.
I'm just saying
I'm
feeling way about Andre's interview.
Brother, I'm not finished talking. The thing about it is and everything, you have sat up there and told people and threatened people to take the picture of your daughter off of their Facebook.
Yes, because, yes, I don't know half these people. So why did they get my daughter pictures on their Facebook?
First
I don't know
of
half
all,
these people.
Because the fact of the matter, this is a movement. Everybody is worried about that child. And as a matter of fact, when I contacted you, I was the one that you told not to do that. And I'm the main person that's trying to help you find this child.
Okay, granted, and I appreciate y'all help, and I appreciate y'all love and concern. But my thing is, stop bashing at my kid's mother. Stop bashing at me. Stop threatening her life, her kids.
What makes you think that anybody on my show is probably
stop
the
telling
one
the world
threatening
that
her life?
My baby mother is such a bad mother because she's not.
Okay. Is there anything else you got to say?
I got to say that there's evidence stating that my daughter was last at her aunt's house with her grandmother. Clear that up first and foremost. And for these other three people that was supposed to get being involved with it, they need to come forward and help me find my daughter.
So let me ask you this. What have you done so far to help find her?
Can you say that again?
What have you done so far to help find her?
What have I done?
Yeah, so
I
far.
I walk the streets every night, all night. I don't go to sleep. I do not sleep. I go outside every night.
Every night? What about
every night, all night. I walk all through D.C., uptown, northwest, southwest, down the waterfront. I walk everywhere by myself.
But what about the daytime? You're saying every night. What about the daytime?
Daytime, too. I sleep during the daytime because I'm tired of walking all through the night. And the day that I'm not tired during the daytime, trust and believe, I do walk the streets.
I mean, you ever thought that maybe during the daytime is the most best time to look for her? And you just stated that you don't sleep.
Exactly. I do not sleep. So when
but
I do,
there,
I'm only human.
On
when my body shut down, I sleep. When I get back up, I go back outside and look for my daughter.
Well, how about this? How about I contact you on my Facebook page, and I would love to get Shamika on here to interview her.
Okay, that's
just
cool.
Just to clear her name, you know, people are going to say what they want to say because they're going to see whatever the media shows them and everything. There's only three sides to every story. Yours, theirs, and the truth. All right? So we get her on here to talk about the situation. And maybe, it might ease up some things. You know, ease up the feelings towards
right.
her on how people feel. Because I guarantee you, I mean, these people that are threatening you guys, and I know all about it because I've talked to Melissa. these people that are threatening you guys and everything, yeah, you may not, you never know who they may be, you know. But it's angry people out here because it's a 8-year-old girl. There are angry people out here because these are parents. Myself, I'm angry about this situation because I have kids. I just lost my daughter, you know, in February. So, you know, but people are going to have their own
opinions. I have a question for the entire world now. I have
this
bonus question. I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a question. My question is, if you leave your daughter or son or kids, who, however, with your mother and your sister, you would feel as though they are safe, right or wrong?
Yeah, well, my mother and my sister, yeah.
Exactly. Say no more. That's my fiance did. She called her mother. Unless she wasn't feeling good, come get her. She got her. It even stated, like I said, in my question, even stated in the news article that Melissa stated that I'm ill and I'm staying for my grandmother over my aunt's house.
So let me ask you this. There's been a question around. I've even asked this question on my radio show a couple times. Who do you think failed Melissa?
Ain't nobody sold my daughter. I don't know who sold my daughter, but I do know that the grandmother
failed,
gave
not sold.
Tatum my
not
daughter.
Failed.
Who failed her?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Melissa failed her, failed my daughter.
And why did Melissa?
Melissa and the aunt. And the school. Because we live in the shelter. And if Melissa missed all them days, they should have contacted the shelter or me, but they didn't. So that's who failed Melissa. The mother, the grandmother. I'm sorry, let me take that back. Not the mother, the grandmother, the sister, and the school. My head not right. I'm so sorry. But I meant to say the grandmother, the sister, and the school failed my daughter. Like I said, if you would send your kids to your grandmother, to your mother or your sister's house, you would feel as though they're safe. And now I'm about to repeat it again because my head is not right. I feel like the grandmother, the aunt, and DCPS failed my daughter.
You know, I've had interviews with Melissa and Ashley, and I'm gonna tell you that they're hurt too. Okay, I'm just put it like that. They're hurt too. But
I'm not saying that they're not they're not hurt. They should be hurt because I have some evidence of my own stating that my daughter was dead. I'm not gonna get into it because I can't because it's confidential. But note that those were the ones who failed my daughter. Her grandmother, her aunt, and the school.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
All right, hold on, stay on the line. Andre, you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's see if anybody else got any more questions for you and everything. I'm going to keep them on hold for a minute. 571-331, go right ahead.
Hi, Andre?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Katie. I'm a longtime Virginian. I have been looking through the court records, and I'm real confused because some family members say that your uncle was incarcerated until 2011, and from the records in Virginia, it looks like he really only had to serve maybe 3 years total, which would have put him out in 2006, and then 5 years probation would have been 2011, which is the end date of his working with the, you know, kind of the, whatever, the judicial system in Virginia. And I wondered if you could clear that up, because a lot of people think he was on probation until 2011.
Um,
As far as his incarceration goes,
yes.
you are correct about him getting out in 2006 and then being on 5 years until 2011.
Great, thanks. People are saying he was in there until 2011 and that his probation would end in 2016, and I was like, no, I don't think so. But
yeah, that's
anyway,
totally not right.
Right, and you know, I would like to ask you if you think that your uncle may have had good intentions to try to help Relisha out of a bad situation, and it went wrong because some bad people got involved.
I think that's exactly what happened, because my uncle was the type of person who didn't do anything. I mean, he wouldn't do something for no reason. Like, it had to be mm-hmm. a good reason why he was seen with this girl, why he was out of the shelter with her. Like, it's a good reason why he did it.
You think that a family member was well aware of giving him permission to take her places, and you feel that he was taking her places to help her in a good way as opposed to maybe sexually abusing her, which is what a lot of people believe. Is that correct? I mean, you believe he was trying to help her, not
yes.
trying to sell her or solicit her or whatever.
Yes, he was helping
okay.
her, and I would like to clear this up for everybody. My uncle was not no pedophile. He would not have touched a little girl that way, and that angers me that people would even think that. Like, he was the furthest away from a pedophile that anybody can be.
Okay, and I mean, you grew up with him, right? I mean, he was around you from the time you were little, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you have a good feeling about that. You believe in your heart that he wouldn't do something like that.
100%. I feel as though he wouldn't do
okay.
that ever.
And well, see, that's what is getting me. I feel like somehow, and I understand that, you know, when he was younger, you know, maybe he had some problems and did something and got arrested. But if there had been some kind of child abuse going on or some kind of crazy stuff with trafficking children, that would have come out in the last 10 or 15 years.
Exactly.
That's how I feel. And I'm an advocate for children and have been forever, but I just feel like something different happened here. I don't feel like he was involved in that. And I wonder if someone, you know, he got maybe hoodwinked by some bad person. You know, do you know
what
I'm saying?
That's what I'm thinking too, ma'am. I'm thinking the same thing.
All right. Those are all the questions I had. I just wanted to clear up the incarceration and whether or not you felt that there was any chance that he could be involved in something like that, you know. But I don't think I have any other questions. But thank you for coming on, and I know this has to be really hard for you, you know.
Yeah.
And your whole family, because everybody's thinking bad stuff, I know. But anyway. So.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you, and have a good night.
You too, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are almost 30 minutes off the air soon. We'll be off the air in about 30 minutes, so I'm going to ask everyone to please limit your questions to at least one to two questions. We're going to go to the next caller, 803-486, you're on the air. 803-486, you're on the air.
Hello?
I guess they just went out. 202-999, you're on the air.
Hi, this is for Andre. Do you know anything, or do you know Ricky Lyles, who was the person that was initially put out for the Amber Alert, been a friend of Mr. Tatum's, or has he ever spoken about him?
Ricky Lyles is my other uncle.
Okay, so that was Mr. Tatum's brother, or by marriage?
No, that was his sister's husband. That's who Ricky Lyles is.
Okay. And also, I know you said earlier in the call that you had met Relisha before.
but it seems like, you know, kind of piggybacking off of what the last caller said, that he had taken a liking to her, purchased her a couple of gifts, iPads and things like that. When, I'm sure because you were so close with him, how did he speak about her? Did he talk, you know, kind of like it was a child of his? You know, how was his communication with you regarding, you know, Relisha? You know, did he you know what I'm kind of getting at, just to see how he spoke about her maybe when she wasn't around or to you?
The way he spoke to me about Relisha is as if she was his own daughter. Like, he was saying that she was maybe in a he vaguely described it, but I think the way he was talking to me, that she was in a bad situation. I can't tell you 100% on what was going on between her and her parents, but the way he was saying it is though he was helping her out of something. Like, he didn't say directly that she was, like, her parents were doing anything to her or anything, but he was saying it as though he was helping her, like, using vague words, like, as in, like, I'm just trying to help her out, she a troubled kid, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. And I know you said two questions, but we really appreciate you, you know, coming forward. And I know that a lot of people, you know, earlier people were saying that, you know, they were kind of jumping on you. But I think, you know, I know everybody else can't. I've spoken a couple of times, but we appreciate you coming forward. And honestly, you are one of the only people that have given an interview that seemed sincere, seemed genuine, and I just, you know, we want to thank you for, you know, giving us a different perspective, because
I think George was sincere too.
I believe he was sincere, but I believe that he might have kind of had the wool pulled over his eyes. I believe that, you know, you have a family, and now Antonio is blaming Melissa, and the other day Shamika was blaming the system. I mean, this family is screwed up, and George might just be an innocent bystander, and he doesn't know what was going on or the neglect that was going on in this family. I don't know, but I feel like that you are, you know, kind of giving us a different perspective and kind of giving us eyes into the Tatum that we didn't know, because he's being painted as this terrible person. And although we don't know the whole story, to me it seems like, you know, you're giving us some true answers. And this is the only truth that I think has came out of this entire story. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a good night, man.
You too.
All right. 202-904, you're on the air.
Okay. I don't know what I got to say, because I'm so confused. There's so many stories, so many lies. I don't know. But why would it be a problem on the father's behalf if there was so much comfort with your uncle from the other side of the family? Why would Melissa, if y'all say she failed her grandchild, why wouldn't it be okay for him to go, you know, take the little girl if this is what he normally do? You see what I'm saying? Why is it all a problem now? And the mother just don't seem too concerned, but how was your uncle as far as a person? Like, was he, I don't know, was he, like, showing signs of a pedophile or anything? Or I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know who failed her.
No, he wasn't. You can't show signs of something you're not, and that's what he wasn't. He wasn't a pedophile. So, and also, to be honest with you, I have plenty of questions that I would want to ask the mother. And to describe my uncle in a couple words, he was like a helpful person. Like, if you needed it and he had it, he'll give it to you. Like, he was that type of person. That's why he bought all of those gifts for the little girl, because obviously she was going through something, and he seen that if he gave her something, it would cheer her up and make her life at least a little bit better than it was. And I believe it was messed up.
And another question, she said that he told her mom if something happened to him or his wife, something she said in an interview, I couldn't really make out what she was saying, but is that true? Did he really say that to the grandmother is what I wanted to know. And why would he kill his wife if he's such a good person? I don't understand that.
Why would he take his wife?
The first, the last thing you said, I don't believe that he killed his wife. I can't really tell you what happened to his wife, but I know for a fact he wouldn't have killed his wife because their relationship was like a happy relationship. Like, there's no way that he would have killed his wife. From what I've seen, they was a happy, loving couple. And to answer the what was the first question that you had asked? Sorry about that.
I had asked, and I forgot. But I'm just confused on why the mother is not coming forward and speaking and being involved at all. Because if this was my child, you know, I'm going all out.
We're trying to get that together sometime. We want to get that together sometime this week. So if you're following the Relisha Task Force page, we'll let you know off of there.
And one more question, do you think she's still alive? That's it.
I believe that she's still alive, to be honest with you.
I do, too.
I believe she is.
I do, too.
That's all right.
All right.
All right, thank you. All right, next caller, 202-830, you're on the air.
Hello?
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 Yes?
Yes, this is Relisha Rudd's mother, Shamika Young.
Oh,
my first question, how you doing, Andre?
I'm doing good, and yourself?
I'm doing good. My first question is to you. I know some people that know your uncle. Is it true that he's from Kenilworth?
Yes. Yes, he is from Kenilworth.
Okay. Now, this goes to my story. This story goes back to when I was taken from my mother and father at 6 years old with my four siblings. I wasn't raised by my mother at all.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay. Me speaking on the behalf of my daughter, I feel some type of way about the situation. If I was known a way ahead of time before March 19th of 2014, trust and believe me that I would have done something way before they even brought it to my attention March 19th. I was under the impression that my daughter was attending school, and I was under the impression that she was left and still at my sister's house. Once again, I have an Instagram video where it stunts that me and a whole rack of kids, plus my daughter, was on an Instagram video where I recorded it saying, telling my kids to say hi to Instagram, we killing them at Ashley's house.
So, I think I've seen that Instagram.
Now, I do have some questions, and I would like my questions to be answered. I tried to get the questions out, and I tried to get some answers, but my questions couldn't be answered. Now, if Mr. Workman would have told me ahead of time that my mother had given him a number to your uncle, I would have done something about that. If Mr. Workman would have brought it to me before the 19th, I could have did something about that. As far as the authorities asking me to do a missing person report or anything like that, they never once asked me to do anything like that until March, like the 20th, after they found his wife dead.
Shamika, how do you feel about, I mean, like I said, I'm pretty sure you know I've spoken with your mom, your sister, and things like that, and they speak so highly of you. How do you feel about what the mayor has said and the fact that Chief Lanier has stopped the search?
I feel some type of way with Chief Lanier stopping the search. I feel like they could have been doing more. Instead of searching that one area, I feel like Chief Lanier and her crew could have been out here searching the whole D.C. area. And I feel like when they sent Amber Alerts out, I feel like they should have put names in it. They didn't make Amber Alerts nationwide. No, they did not. They kept it in D.C.
Okay, Shamika, would you be willing to do an interview on this show tomorrow?
Yes, I wasn't doing an interview on that show tomorrow.
Okay, I want you to contact me on, I think I inboxed you on one of my pages. So check your inbox and everything, and add me, and we'll talk off the air from there, and I'll, you know, fill you in on some things that you want to show tomorrow.
Okay.
That's okay with you?
That's fine.
All right. So I'll talk to you in a little bit, right?
And I have one more question for Andre. My next question to him is, I want to know how long has his uncle and Mrs. Tatum been together? Or how long they have actually been married?
Actually, he's been married before, like, since before I was born, so I can't tell you the exact date, but I know he's been married since before I was born.
So, in other words, they've been married about 20-plus years.
Yes.
Okay. One more question. For you to be 23 years old, and your uncle is 51 years old, how did y'all have a close relationship? It's a big age difference in that.
Because I was always around my uncle. That's how we built a relationship, because I was always around my uncle. I mean, the age difference doesn't matter. It's just I was always around him, so when you're around somebody, you start to pick up little tendencies of them, know what they like to do and stuff like that.
So besides you seeing my daughter at the shelter, have you actually seen her with your uncle besides seeing her down at the shelter?
Yes, I have actually I seen her walking with my uncle, where is this at? The store that's closest to the shelter, the convenience store. I have walked with them before.
I used to live in that area. I know what story you're talking about.
I have seen your daughter plenty of times. Like, most people never seen me down there at the shelter, but I've seen your daughter plenty of times.
Okay, did she ever mention anything of how she gotten with Taylor that day? Or
no, she has never mentioned how she actually met my uncle or what was their relationship. She never said anything about that. The only time that I actually said something to her was hi and how are you doing, what's your name, and stuff like that. Any other time beyond that, she was cheerful, everything. Like, she wanted to play everything.
Okay. I'm not understanding why would your uncle be walking with my daughter to a convenience store when he had two vehicles to drive.
That's another question. I don't know, but we just enjoyed the walk. I mean, it was a good day outside. If it's hot outside and it's nice enough to walk, we ain't going to drive a car to the store.
So, okay. My question to you is, have you
spoken
to
any other kids? I got to cut your questions because I got other people that want to make questions as well. But, Andre, if you'd like to be on the show along with her tomorrow, we can get some things together.
Okay. I'm going to just talk to you via Facebook.
All right.
And I'm going to let you take other callers.
All right. No problem. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to the last four callers. This is all I'm going to do, and we're at 14 minutes. And so, 240-608, go right ahead, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on air.
Why can't Shamika and her fiancé or religious stepdad go on the air together?
I mean, they can go on the air together and everything, but, you know, the main concern right now is the mother. The mother is the main concern. I mean, I understand he's the stepfather and everything, but, you know, it can be done, you know, with both of them on there, but...
Or her mom, because it seems like they're blaming her mom.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I talk to them tonight, I'll see if both of them can come on tomorrow. And we'll, I mean, the thing about it is we got to get this thing down back. Yeah, we got to find the truth and find where this baby girl is.
Yeah, because Shamika got a lot of questions for everybody else. So when somebody questioned her, she's quiet.
Is there anything else?
No.
All right, thank you for calling. 803-486, go right ahead, you're on the air.
Hello, I wanted to ask Shamika, but she's hanging up already. I guess I'll get back to tomorrow.
Hung up already.
Hello?
Yes, it looked like she hung up already. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, it looked like she hung up already.
Hello?
Hello? Okay, I think we lost that one. 252-541. That looked like no cackalacky.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is North Carolina, but I'm from D.C. I moved here 2 years ago. And
okay.
I actually used to work at UPO, which was next to the shelter right there.
Right.
My thing is, I have a little girl, and I'm sorry, but if it's not her father, she can't go nowhere. And my thing is, for her to be questioning Andre's nephew about his uncle, someone that she sent her child with, these are questions that she should already know. You know, and she's supposed to be coming on the show with him on tomorrow. These are questions he should be asking her.
Exactly.
You know, and another thing is, and I don't want to be rude, because my main concern is really this baby.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 9 years old, I had a mom and a dad who was on drugs, and they let a lot of people in and out of their house.
Mm-hmm.
And an older guy that my mom trusted with us. And right now today, and it hurts me to even talk about it because it still pains me, right now today, my mom still does not know that I was in my bedroom one day while she was downstairs, her, my dad, and a couple of other friends. And this man called himself going to the bathroom. And he raped me. I was 9 years old. I still can't tell my mom that today because I felt like it was my fault. So my thing is for you, Andre, to say that you don't think that your uncle was this or your uncle was that. You really can't say what he is when he's not around you, because people will portray this particular person while they're around you, and then they're this other person. And I'm not saying that he was, but... the fact is, he was the last person to be with this child. My question to you is, what makes you think that this baby is still alive?
You're asking me or Andre?
Andre.
No,
it's more of a feeling that I feel as though she's still alive. I mean, I don't have no explanation on why I feel like it, but I feel in my heart that she's still alive. I honestly know that he wouldn't like do this to this little girl. Like, I don't know, it's just a feeling of uncle and a nephew. Like, I know what people are thinking, that he, like, you can't know a person 24/7, but I felt as though I know him and I know that he wouldn't do nothing like this.
Well, I mean, that's your uncle, and, you know, I respect the way you feel about him, and, you know, you want to keep that positiveness about him. But as I stated, the fact remains he was the last person with her, you know, and even in his death, he didn't leave anything for us to find this child. So, I mean, do you even think about those things that, you know, he could have said something before he died? He could have said, I gave her to somebody else, or I sent her somewhere to protect her from her parents. Do you think about those things?
I think about it every night. Like, I think about where she can be at, what, like, every little place that we went, maybe she can be there. Like, I think about all that every night. When I go to sleep, I close my eyes, I wake up, I still think about all of that. But for the fact is that we still haven't found this little girl yet, and it's starting to get grim that she might not be found alive. And I think about this every night. It actually haunts me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time, Andre. And I hope I wasn't too harsh or anything, but I do thank you for your time and, you know, you stepping up and even talking to all these callers.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
You have a good night.
Andre, I want to thank you, bro, for coming on to this show. I mean, to even talk about things that's going on, even with what has happened to your aunt and your uncle, and I send my condolences to you. And, you know, my sister, she talks very highly about you, and she's told me, you know, how hurt you are behind this. So I really thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
All right, stay on mute for me. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you got some questions asked from a member of the Tatum family. And even Antonio and Shamika showed up on here. See, I always say in the beginning of the show, we getting down to the nitty-gritty in this Chocolate City. See, y'all think I say that to be joking, but I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty because I want to help find this girl. This is a child. We're all parents on here looking for this little girl. You're on the air.
I wanted to say thank you to Andre as well. I didn't appreciate how he was getting interrogated by the two of them, but I hope he does come on tomorrow, and I hope they actually do the interview with you, so she could explain everything. I mean, like a lot of it, like the questions she was asking him. Like someone said, she should already know the answers to those things. And she is shifting the blame on everybody else but herself. You gave your child to someone. You know, these prior to the mother and the sister supposedly had custody of the child while she was sick or whatever the case may have been. You've always given your child to this man. Like, did your daughter ever ask? I mean, I would like to know, did her daughter ever make any type of allegations that she was touched by him when she came back on the first, before she gave her back to him on the first, or whoever gave her back to him on the first? I mean, has anybody ever said that to you?
Yeah, good point there.
I don't know, like, I lived in a shelter before, and they were very, very, very strict about, you know what I mean, not franchising with the clients and the clients with the workers, because it's a conflict of interest and all types of things, you know, spiral from that. And I have seen women who did manipulate their way with the employees, and they did get things. That does happen in shelters. And I don't know. I maybe they seen it as a free ride. And as far as the Social Security checks and things, he can have his income taxes, but they're going to stop the Social Security checks until he gets done spending up that money. They don't keep giving you government assistance checks.
Exactly.
Why do you have an income tax?
I'm on Social Security myself, so that's why I ask those questions.
You know what I mean? So he said, what does it matter? What does it matter? But it actually looks as if, and I'm going to keep it real, like somebody got $4,000 because the mother still didn't show no type of evidence that there was an automobile claim or whatever, insurance claim. When you win cases, lawyers give you proof, you know what I mean, documentation and check stuff. That you have to sign off on to get your money. No one ever presented that evidence. And it looks as if, because on the first day, was getting high and partying while this baby missing, it looks like somebody bought, they sold her to somebody. It looks that way. The media didn't make it look that way. They made it look that way the day that he came on there. And exposed his money. Like, who does that? And if you got money like that, why are you still having your family in a shelter? Tatum had three places. Why did y'all ask him to not get one of his places?
Exactly.
Y'all have money to move.
Well, we're going to have the answers to these questions tomorrow. So,
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I understand. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a member a group on the Relisha Rudd Task Force group. We will continue on with this in that group right after this show. So if you're on Facebook, you want to talk more about this, the Relisha Rudd Task Force is the name of the group. Add yourself to it. I will log put you in, or one of my admins will put you in. This is something to talk about. Tomorrow is going to be a special 3 hours of this show. Special 3 hours of this show. Y'all heard it first. Shamika will be on here. We're going to ask questions. We're going to get answers. Maybe even get better clues to find out where this young girl is. Because I tell you now, I'm on Team Relisha. Also, add us on Twitter. The W Experience. That's the name of the Twitter page, The W Experience. Don't forget also, help us find Relisha. I'm the leader of the task force where we'll be searching for this little girl, young girl. GoFundMe.com. 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 Look up the Relisha Rudd Fund. Donate. Help us out. You know, we are trying to find this little girl. Donations will go to not only help towards finding her, but it will also go to her once found. Let us all bow our heads, as we always do, in a word of prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today, Lord God. I thank you for last night's slumber and this morning's awake, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you to just watch over the family, Lord God. You know what they're going through on both sides, Tatum and the young family, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you to watch over Alicia, Lord God, wherever she is, Lord God, and cover your whole arm around her, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you to watch over these callers that are under my voice, Lord God. I thank them for coming and spreading their issues, Lord God, and I hope they continue to come back to the radio show, Lord God. Until Relisha is found, Lord God, we will continue with this radio show, and I will not stop searching for this young girl. Now give me a home, Lord, that Job declared every day will be Sunday. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, go to the Relisha Rudd Task Force on Facebook so we can continue with this conversation. I'll see y'all there, and good night until tomorrow, 7 p.m., guys. Good night.